The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome back to The Punt. It's International Week, which means we have plenty of Euro 2016 qualifiers to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Lee Phelps. Hi, Lee.
I'm excellent, thank you. Looking forward to the internationals.
We've got quite a... Can you call it an international team? We've got the home nation team on the telephone today for today's punt. You're going to look at the England game.
Yes. I don't know how qualified I am. I've never played for them.
No. Have any of these guys played for their country?
No, that's true. They haven't, no. But at least they've... I suppose what we've done is we've gone for accents.
Yeah.
So we've got some with a Scottish accent doing Scotland, some with an Irish accent doing the Irish teams.
Yeah.
Robbie Savage... who's kind of got a hint of a Welsh accent,
yeah,
and I've got an English accent.
Yeah.
Oh, it works, doesn't it? Well, I mean, what more do you need than that?
Fantastic.
Knowledge, obviously, but Brian Smith and David Donaldson
never
coming
troubled us before.
Exactly. Why break it if it isn't broken?
Yeah, why fix it? well, should we get into it? Should we start with
England? Let's do England first, and we'll speak to Davey and Brian.
England take on Slovenia in Group E. England top of the group, perfect record so far for them. Played three, won three, haven't conceded a goal either. They take on the current second team in the group in Slovenia, who are doing okay. They've won two of the three games. The betting looks like this: 1-3 for England, the draw 7-2, Slovenia 10-1. Is the England bandwagon going to continue to roll smoothly here?
I would have thought so, yeah. I mean, they don't make mistakes at home generally in qualifiers, do they? Of course, there was the Croatia game back in 2007, which they lost. Previous to that, in European qualifiers, the last time they lost at home at Wembley was in 1999 against Scotland. Same in World Cup qualifying. Just don't lose games, you know, and tend to beat teams relatively comfortably. I mean, had the draw against Ukraine. That's the only game they haven't won in a World Cup qualifier going back to 2004. So, solid. I think, you know, that the fact that Rooney's got this landmark game coming up, he'll be playing above the ground, as they say. I think England should get this job done fairly easily. They're not a particularly open team, Slovenia, though. You know, and like, as you said, they've done all right so far. They tend to do much better in qualifiers than they do in friendlies. They've beaten Switzerland already just by a single goal to nil. Nova Kovic, who scored the penalty, one of their most capped players, and he scored both goals in the win in Lithuania as well. So he's scored all three of Slovenia's goals. Up until that win in Lithuania, by the way, they lost the previous five away games, one World Cup qualifier in Switzerland, one in Estonia, and the others were all friendlies. Hadn't scored a goal in any of those five as well. So those goals against Lithuania, who are a poor team, are the first goals in quite a long while on the road. Shouldn't cause England too many problems, really. I mean, a bit of news as we record this on Thursday afternoon is that Andros Townsend's gone back to Tottenham, and Michael Carrick won't feature either. Michael Carrick shouldn't have been in the squad in the first place, in my opinion. I don't even know why he was in the squad. I mean, I don't know, but anyway. That doesn't really affect them too much. I haven't thought too much about them, you know, in the qualifiers so far. They've just got a gimme of a group. You mentioned Group E. I mean, we've been giving out odds here on InPlay Radio and on the podcast about England going through the group with a 100% record. You know, Slovenia, Lithuania, Switzerland, Estonia and San Marino. Well, Switzerland were the hardest team they would play, and they obviously got a really good result against them. So, you know, they've got this home game against Slovenia, and then they've got a home game against Lithuania, which, you know, they should win that one really comfortably. Then they go, away to Slovenia, which will be a tougher ask, away San Marino, and then they've got a home game against Switzerland next year, with a couple more to finish off with Estonia and Lithuania to finish off with. So, I mean, it's just a question of how many, really. Now, the manager, Roy Hodgson, has come out this week and said he wants them to be not more nasty.
Yeah.
You'd never get accused of that, would you? Not being nasty enough. I get what he means. He wants them to go and smash teams to bits, I guess.
He wants them to be ruthless, doesn't
he? And score goals, you know, which is fair enough, I suppose. I don't know if that'll happen against Slovenia, though, because I think, if you look where Slovenia are, they're second in the table, 3 points off England, on the same points as Lithuania. Now, this is the hardest game of the group. So Slovenia will be more than happy, ecstatic even, if they came away from Wembley with a draw.
Yeah.
So they set up for the draw, in my opinion. I think they set up strong. They set up with the kind of, you know, the formations that we see quite a lot in the Premier League for away teams, with a strong defence, strong midfield, players sitting in front, and Novakovic pretty much on his own up front and looking to hit them on the break. I think that the fact they haven't conceded a goal yet will be a big thing for England. But they'd want to keep that record going.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, no one wants to concede goals. So I can see it being a fairly low score, despite him saying that he wants them to go and, you know, put the pedal down. They don't do that, do they?
No.
England. It's all right, him saying, oh, well, you don't want you to be nasty. Well, they don't do that. They don't just go, oh, yeah, brilliant, yeah, that's what it was. We'll go out there and be really ruthless now then. Yeah. That's not what happens in international football.
They'll be nasty in a different way, England. They'll be just calling each other names. And
yeah. Oh, we didn't get what you meant.
Yeah.
I've been calling him an idiot with dodgy hair all match.
Look at you in your blue boots.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, if you're looking to oppose England in any way, or you're looking to look at, you know, Slovenia getting a goal, I think he would be worth a look. Novakovic to score. I mean, he's 35 now.
Yeah.
66 caps for his country. Like I say, one of the most capped players in the squad. 28 goals for his country. Plays his trade in Japan these days. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's in confident mood at the minute. He scored those three goals already. I don't think they will score. I think it might be a... Yeah. I think my bet's going to be England to win in under 2.5 goals, to be fair. I think that's the kind of game it'll be. I don't think it'll be plain sailing for England. I think it'll take a while for them to break down this Slovenian team.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning towards suggesting to you, what about England to win to nil?
Mm.
They have done so far. Slovenia don't score away from home very, very often.
They don't score many at all, to be honest with you, Mark. Yeah. You know, they've scored three and conceded one in three matches so far. So, you know, England have got nothing to worry about in terms of Slovenia scoring more goals than them. It's breaking them down that I think will be the problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that, and you know, whatever Roy Hodgson says, if England are 2-0 up with 60 odd minutes gone and it looks fairly comfortable, he won't be throwing attackers on to risk players for the Premier League managers. He'll be keeping them, you know. They've got another game against Scotland, of course, coming around the corner, which you could argue is a harder game, and you could argue it's a more important game. Well,
a bit more pride on stake. Probably, yeah.
We mark a club game, that one that is the one where you'll want them to be a bit more nasty. This one they should just, you know, it's a bit like a Premier League, like a Chelsea playing a Leicester, where Leicester are going to shut the door and try and park the bus and all those other cliches, and Chelsea are going to have to break them down. I think England will break them down eventually.
Okay, so England to win and under 2.5 goals, did you say?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, I'll just try and get a price on that. England to win to nil, by the way, is 3-4.
I'm always a little bit reluctant on the win to nil, just because
you only need
it's just a fluky goal. I'd hate to be chinned like that. Yeah, you know, I mean, that'd kill me. You know, as a punter, when you see a guy, you're like, oh no, not a slicer into the roof of the net or something daft like that.
England to win in under 2.5 goals is 17-10.
Yeah, I like that compared to 1-3.
So you kind of just, you're going for 1-0 and 2-0 there.
Exactly.
Aren't you?
Yeah, you are. That's exactly what you're doing. And look, you know, I mean, Wayne Rooney to score England to win at 6-4. No, I can't have that price at all. Wouldn't be a big surprise if he scored, though, would it? Because, you know, we know he's got a good record against in qualifiers. And he's obviously, you know, his 100th cap and all the rest of it. And he's chasing down the all-time record. There's a thing on Five Live, interested to see what you think about this, but asking whether he was an all-time England great. Gary Lineker said he is.
Yeah.
Do you think he is?
I think he is,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I couldn't... When I look at that list of players...
How much stick Wayne Rooney gets?
Not stick. No, I'm not going to give him stick. What I'm saying is, when you look at that list of players that he's up there in terms of the top scorers, I don't think he's an all-time great in a kind of, you know, you're looking at, you know, Gary Lineker, for instance. I mean, he scored crucial goals in World Cups. Yeah. I'd have Gary Lineker a long way above Wayne Rooney. And, you know, if you were putting an England team together, where would, for instance, an all-time England team?
Yeah.
Which... How far down, if we had an England A, B, C, D, Rooney would probably be in my front two for the D team.
Really?
Wouldn't he for you?
That far down?
Yeah.
Nah.
Look at the teams they play these days.
Yeah, the only thing that's against him is he hasn't scored a really big, important World Cup finals goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he scores for fun in qualifying. He's England's highest ever World Cup goal scorer, if you take into account qualifying. He's done it in a team that's not particularly strong. He's carried the hopes of a nation since being a very young man. he's got 100 caps. I struggle to see why he gets so much criticism.
Yeah, and I'd like to stress again, I'm not criticising him. I think he's brilliant, and I've always enjoyed watching him and think he's great. He's fourth at the minute with 43 goals. Needs two more to overtake Jimmy Greaves. He needs another six to overtake Gary Lineker, and he needs another seven to become the all-time England leading goal scorer.
It'll happen.
Oh yeah, it will happen, definitely. We were betting on it earlier in the week. I'm not sure if we're still betting on it
now. It won't happen tonight though, by the way.
No, it shouldn't happen tonight. He could overtake Jimmy Greaves, of course, could draw level. He's done that in his 99 caps, by the way. So he's got the worst average of any of those top four. I mean, look at some of these averages, Mark. 44 in 57 for Jimmy Greaves. Yes. I mean, my dad used to go on about Jimmy Greaves. Loved Jimmy Greaves all the time. Never saw him play, obviously. Gary Lineker, 48 in 80. Bobby Charlton, 49 in 106. One of the men he overtook not so long ago, Nat Lofthouse. Look at that for a record. 30 international goals in 33. I mean, I don't know what the standards were like in the 50s of everyone, but yeah, some great names in there. I'd have Shearer above in my team above Rooney.
Yeah, Shearer just didn't play long enough, did he?
Yeah.
He obviously missed the World Cup.
He would definitely. So. I mean, sorry to drop this huge name on the floor, but when we were in Brazil, we did go out for some food with
Clang.
With Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, and as many of you may know, if you follow me on Twitter, I did balk people quite a lot of the time. But Alan Shearer is a very kind of reserved kind of guy. He's not someone who would be bragging at the table and all that. And everyone's chatting about the best players and all this, and about this record. Goal scorers record, because obviously the link is there and he's right up there. And he didn't say anything really, Shearer. He just took a lot of praise around the table and he was very modest. And then I'm not saying he wasn't drunk, I wouldn't ever say that, but he loosened up a bit as the night went on,
Right.
Let me stress, he wasn't drunk, he was just a bit looser. And eventually, I think Robbie Savage was like going, "Oh, yeah, you never got close to them lot." And he said quite quietly, "If I'd have played as many games as them, I'd have smashed all those records." Love it.
Beautiful.
He kept it quiet for so long that eventually he broke. But yeah, quality. It'd be great if he scores in his 100th cap, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To equal Jimmy Greaves' record.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I think
I like sometimes to back the story as well. So if you wanted to back Rooney to score in England to win, you're kind of backing the whole thing that the papers are going to get behind, 6-4 about it. It's not the best price in the world, but I think it's very fair, personally. So.
Yeah, and that when you look at the games that they've played so far in the qualifiers, Rooney scored in the San Marino game and the Estonia game. Welbeck scored in the Switzerland game, and he also scored in the San Marino match. So a lot of the strikers are scoring the goals. Jagielka, of course, opened the scoring against San Marino. You wouldn't expect Slovenia to concede a set piece goal if they're going to concede at all. So I think it'll be a case of England trying to get behind them and maybe cutting them open as opposed to a set piece. So
yeah.
But 6-4 is too short for me.
Yeah. You just got me thinking that, by the way.
Go on.
Just which team I would have in my A team. How many strikers are you allowed? Are we changing formations? Is it 4-4-2?
Should we go 4-4-2 just to be traditional? Well, they weren't doing 4-5, all this in 1958, were they?
Yeah, so you've got to go with Charlton and Lineker. But then he's in my B team. You'd have Rooney, probably.
Would you?
I think so, yeah.
I'd have Michael Owen above Rooney. What a finisher Michael Owen was when he was on his.
Yeah.
And we've got them in their pomp, by the way.
Right,
so you've got Rooney in at Euro 2004, was it? No. No, it can't be that long ago, was it? God, was it that long ago?
It will have been, yeah.
Jeez. That was his breakout tournament, yeah. Greaves would have to come above Rooney. I mean, from whatever. I don't know, it's hard because I've never really seen him play.
That's my problem, yeah. And he got dropped for the World Cup final.
Yes, he did. So would you put Jeff Hurst above Rooney then?
Yeah, he got a hat-trick in a World Cup final.
Tom Finney?
It's just one of them, isn't he? If you haven't been around at the time, it's hard to really compare, but... maybe the B team I'd have him in. Maybe C. I won't go as far as D.
Yeah, I would, because I'd have Charlton, Lineker, Greaves, Owen, Shearer, and just because of that record, Nat Lofthouse above him, that's six. There's three teams worth of strikers.
Yeah.
So then Rooney would be in my D team. I don't know how I'm up front with him, though. Maybe Rooney and Jeff Hurst. Peter Crouch, 22 and 42.
What's Emil Heskey's goal-to-game ratio, by the way?
I don't know, actually. Crouch isn't bad, is it? But they were all against Saudi Arabia. This is a myth, isn't it? Everyone sort of says, oh, yeah, they're all against Saudi Arabia and Jamaica and all that.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did score some quite important goals. Who were you asking about?
Emil Heskey.
Which team would he even get in the alphabet?
He's in the official that he's got the worst goals-to-game record of any striker.
Is it? Is that true? He scored six He had 7 goals in 62 appearances.
Yeah, so how many 7s in 62?
9.
I don't know why.
8 7s are 56, aren't they?
7 7s are 49. 56, yeah.
63 is. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's near enough.
He's got a 1 in 9 record.
But he was a great player to play alongside.
Apparently so, yeah. Apparently so. Right, let's go back to the betting, because we've waffled for quite a time.
We have, yeah.
Best bet for England?
England to win. Under 2.5 goals at 17 to 10, I think you said, Tommy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, good stuff. Shall we move on?
Yes, should we get the guys on?
I think we should. Well, Scotland play Republic of Ireland on Friday evening, and Northern Ireland are also in action against Romania. And joining us on the line now, representing Scotland, Mr. Davey Donaldson. How are you, Dave?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you. And representing both islands, both Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, Brian Smith.
How you doing?
Yes, all good.
Hey, chaps, you're right.
Let's get stuck into this game then. Scotland play Republic of Ireland, and Scotland 7-5. The draw is 21-10, and the Republic of Ireland are 21-10. Which one of you wants to go first? Who do you want to start with?
Should we go home first? Home give Scotland first. The first go, because you should have home support, I reckon.
Yeah, I think Scotland, you know, as you say, home support, they should have a good chance for this one, and starting favourites for it as well. So, hopefully, manage to get the right result.
There's been a lot of chat beforehand, Dave, hasn't there, between the Scottish and the Irish camp. But it's been more feisty than I thought it would be. I mean, this is before the Roy Keane incident that we'll talk about in a minute, but there's been a bit of chat between the two camps.
Yeah, there has been, and it's all to do with players like Aidan McGeady and McCarthy, who, of course, you know, could have represented Scotland and of course, are now playing for the Republic of Ireland. But, you know, I mean, obviously, that's their choice, and every country has one or two players like that these days, especially more so these days probably than at any other time that we've seen in the past. But to be honest, I think it's taken with a pinch of salt, because, I mean, okay, they might get booed at Celtic Park on Friday night, but, you know, who cares? Scotland's focus has to be on getting the right result, and everything else really is second to that.
What will the atmosphere be like? Because I was looking back and, like, looking at the head-to-heads. You haven't played each other that many times, really, have you, over the years? It's been
no.
A while. Obviously, you played in that, I can't remember the name of that cup that they put on a couple of years back. The nation, it was some sort of Nations Cup, wasn't it, where the Republic won.
Cup, yeah.
Before that, I think it was like the early 2000s, and before that, it was back in the 80s. Is there much aggro between the two fans? Will it be coming? Obviously, we've got Scotland, England around the corner, aren't we? There'll be plenty of banter flying around in that match.
I think you'll find there'll be more.
Yeah,
more
I'd have thought so.
Tuesday night than there will be on Friday night. I think it's more a sense of occasion and a big, big party when the Scottish and Irish fans get together. There's certainly be a lot of bars in there. I'm sure we'll run out pretty quickly.
No doubt
about that. But I think that, you know, Scotland and Ireland's a bit more of a sort of manageable fixture and a party atmosphere. Although there is a lot of stake on Friday night, I think Scotland need to win this one, no doubt about it. I think on Tuesday night it's you know, going to be probably a little bit more tense, given the nature of the two teams' history.
Okay, well, Scotland currently fourth in the group. 4 points, very, you know, respectable total so far. They're banging the mix. Has attitude changed a little bit towards possibly qualifying for Scotland than in recent years?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely this time has been a lot more optimistic. Of course, the opening game against Germany, Scotland very unlucky not to take anything from that game. Obviously they won the game in between, then played Poland, and of course Poland was again unlucky not to come away with all 3 points, but in fairness you probably could have lost that game as well, so a point maybe isn't a bad result away from home. So that's given Scottish people a sense of optimism they can qualify. But as I said before, if Scotland are going to qualify from this group, they need to win the home games, and they need to start by doing that against Ireland on Friday night.
Okay, 7-5 the price for that to happen. Would that tempt you in on them?
I think Scotland might just edge this one. I have to have a feeling about it. The only thing I would say is I can't see Ireland not scoring in this game. I think they'll score. But 7-5 Scotland's not a bad price. Personally, I think the value for me looks 2-1 Scotland win. Scotland to win 2-1 at 9-1. That's what I would be tempted with. I think Ireland will score. I think they've got enough likes of McGeady and Keane and people that can put the ball in the back of the net. I think the Scotland, the crowd behind them, might just edge this one. And 2-1 is what I'd be going for.
Okay, 2-1, 9-1. You can also back the match result and both teams to score. So Scotland to win and both teams on the score sheet, 5-1. You don't have to nominate a correct score that way. Anything else to add for side Scotland?
Yeah, as regards to Scotland as well, I think it'll be a very, very tight game. I think the first half it could be, you know, level at half time, and then maybe Scotland win full time. I fancy that 4-1. That seems very reasonable odds to me. And the other one that caught my eye was first goal scorer Ikechianya. He scored an absolute cracker against Germany in the opening fixture, albeit Scotland didn't come away with any points, but his pace is absolutely frightening at times. And I think at 9-1 to be the first goal scorer in the game, he certainly caught my eye. I thought, that's not a bad price, so I would have some of that as well. But as I say, I think it will be tight. I think that, I mean, the boost for Scotland is that James McCarthy's been ruled out, so that's a big bonus as far as Scotland's concerned. The hard part for Scotland is keeping McGeady and Keane quiet, and hopefully if they can do that, they might get the result that they need.
Okay, yeah, 16-5 as well, by the way, for Ikechianya to score any time. That doesn't look too bad of a price.
Not a bad show.
Yeah, should we get the Irish slant on things, Brian? 21-10 about a Republic of Ireland victory. Same kind of thing to start with. What's the mood like with the Republic of Ireland coming into the game?
I think McCarthy being ruled out's a big blow. I think Mark Wilson is also injured, so they're looking at Richard Keogh of Derby coming in to cover centre half. I think, like Davey said, there'll be a big party atmosphere in Glasgow. I think everybody's looking forward to it. But thinking with my head, I think I had my notes here, and I had Scotland. Had Scotland to win 2-1 as well. Uh-huh. I just think Scotland have looked very. They've got a lot better under Strachan. They kind of look more organised. As much as pains me to say it, so I think Scotland will probably edge this game. Like I said, McCarthy's a big, big loss. I know they brought Glenn Whelan back. They were talking about him coming back, but that was more hope I had than anything, as he suffered a leg fracture last month against the Germans. I think the German result, everybody expected Ireland to get beaten, and to nick one right at the end was surprising. But I do think Scotland may have just a wee bit too much here, and I do expect them to nick a 2-1. And I'm just going, looking at the prices, I think Naismith, any 10 goals scored 2-1, standing out for me as well. I think he's always looks likely at this level.
When you look at the group stage, I mean, let's say Scotland do get the win, that takes them level on 7 mm-hmm. points with the Republic. I mean, you look at, I mean, Germany are going to come strong eventually.
No doubt.
I mean, they've got Gibraltar. I mean, you know, as far as the goal difference, the minus one goal difference at the minute, Germany. So that, you know, that could be plus 10 by the end of this weekend. Germany have got Gibraltar, then they go away to Georgia. So, you know, by then you'd expect they'll have another 6 points. But I mean, you know, Scotland win this, then they've got Gibraltar next, haven't they? In the next qualifier, so suddenly Scotland could look to it, because Republic have got Scotland, they've got Poland, and then mm-hmm. they've got the return game against Scotland. So Republic have got probably the toughest run of games at the moment.
Republic have had a solid start. Yeah. 7 points in their first 3, that's not to be laughed at. But like you said, I think the Republic's games get slightly going to Poland. Scotland's result in Poland last month was fantastic. Yeah. A 2-2 draw. I think we all know Germany are going to go through. Germany are going to lift it up a couple of levels here. The hangover from the World Cup's going to end, and they're going to storm through this group. I think it's between Scotland, Ireland and Poland for the second place. I think my gut feeling is Scotland and Poland, because I think Scotland look much more organised. I think a wee bit more capable, and also with the Poles, I think with Lewandowski, when you've a centre-forward of that class, he's going to score goals at any level.
We were talking about how feisty it might be, and I get the feeling that there's no real grudge between the teams, despite that little bit of niggle beforehand. I was just looking at that last match, that 1-0 back in 2011. I mean, there were 6 cards in that match, 6 mm-hmm. yellow cards. You know, 4 of them for the Irish and 2 for the Scots. So you know, I suppose I was looking at the card prices. I mean, over 6 cards is probably asking a bit much. 13-5. If you just go on bookings points, over 55 bookings points, so you get 10 for a yellow, 25 for a red, maximum of 35 for any one player. That's just the other side of even money, 23-20. Mm-hmm. Could you see a few cards?
Yeah, definitely, because I think these games, I think there's going to be a derby feeling. All right, maybe not as much as Scotland, England, or whatever, but I think when Northern Ireland have played Wales previously in the last few years, those games have been feisty, because it's like I said, it's a derby game. It's between the teams from these two islands, so there's always going to be a little bit of expectation. The fans are going to be up for it, and it's just going to have that edge to it. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's at least 4 cards, 4 yellows in this anyhow.
What's the word about Roy Keane? I mean, it was reported, as usual, Twitter can jump the gun a little bit. It was reported that he was maybe, they were implying that he was the instigator. We're told now that it was actually Roy Keane who alerted the police, and the police were called to the hotel. Obviously, the manager and the entire Irish FA have come out in full support of Roy Keane. Quite an easy target, Keane, isn't he?
Yeah, it is, but he's not a target I would want to square up against, to be honest with you. Whether they want to get it. If Roy Keane says, "I'm not going to sign your book, mate," I would just kind of put my head down and shuffle along. That's not a thing I would want to get into. It. And I'm a big lad myself. I wouldn't be giving myself odds on him anyway, I'll tell you.
Hey, I want to see the interview with the lad who tried it on.
Yeah. He's British, but I don't know if he can talk probably at the moment, to be fair.
I have to say that I've interviewed Roy Keane a couple of times when he was at Sunderland, and I agree with your comments there. He's not a man to be messed.
No, and he's very intense sort of. No, he's an intense sort of character. I think you give him a bye ball and things like that.
Yeah, and there was that. I think it was in the Patrick Vieira documentary. Do you remember that they asked him the question, didn't they? About, you know, I think it was about Ferguson, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and he just kind of went, "I've answered your question."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually at a press conference with him when he was the Ipswich manager at Barnsley, and he lost his temper in that and stormed out and actually made a point of asking the journos on the way out whether they thought it was a penalty. It was terrifying.
He is a genuinely terrifying man. At least he's got rid of the beard.
Yeah, I mean, with the beard, I would have run out of that press room.
With the beard, he's a scary individual.
Agree with him.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the way to go, isn't it? So let's quick recap. What's your best bets in the game, guys?
I think Scotland 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9-1.
Yeah, 9-1. Well, since you're both going for that, I think I might have a bet on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one for me as well. I agree with that. It's 2-1. I think Scotland are just edging. Just have enough from the home crowd behind it that should help.
Nice one. I meant to give out your Twitter addresses. It's at @DoubleD1973 for Davey. That's right, isn't it? And @Desmond_Funk for Brian, which is a great Twitter address.
Yeah,
I won't ask why.
No, it's a long story.
Yeah, I probably haven't got time for it right now, but I'd love to know one day. Cheers, Davey.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot, guys. We should keep Brian on for Northern Ireland. I'm intrigued to know about Northern Ireland's position at the top of the group.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, Mark will introduce all the odds, but I'm intrigued in what the atmosphere's like in Northern Ireland after we get the odds from Mark, because it's just an unbelievable situation.
Yeah, well, let's spin through the odds. Romania 6-10, the draw 23-10, Northern Ireland are 13-2. Three out of three, riding on a crest of a wave, and you're getting 13-2 about them going to Romania and getting a win. Is the mood confident to do so?
I think the expectation level has risen, and there's also a large degree of complete and utter shock. because I remember speaking to you boys the last time before the Northern Ireland-Hungary game, and yeah. I said I couldn't see a win, we couldn't see a goal. We got that win, we moved on. we beat the Faroes, which was kind of expected, and then we moved on to Greece thinking we're going to be found out soon, and then we won 2-0 in Greece, and it's a case that I think people just, O'Neill has got a settled squad. It's a small squad, but his key players have been there the last 2-3 games. Your Steve Davises, your Roy Carrolls, your Jamie Wards, your Aaron Hughes, guys like that there. So the problem is Steve Davis is missing for this game, Jamie Ward's missing, Aaron Hughes is doubtful. So that, to me, that immediately, I think Romania become clear favourites. If those boys had been in the team, I would have been saying I could expect the Northern Ireland maybe to go and nick a draw, even after what happened in Greece and what happened in Hungary. But this was the game I thought this was probably going to be the hardest away game of the draw. Because I think the Greeks, no matter, despite being first seeds, are very much still a team in some sort of transition at the moment. But this is a game. This is going to be the hardest away game of the campaign.
I was looking at a major part of the run so far has been Kyle Lafferty. Can't buy a goal in the championship for Norwich, can he? Yet he's scored in each of those games for the Northern Ireland. Brilliant record so far.
Yeah, definitely, and almost kind of redeeming himself from the previous campaign when he got sent off against Portugal last time for an absolute needless tackle, which resulted in a straight red. He took a lot of criticism from the Northern Irish public and the media. And he wasn't happy over Palermo at the time as well. So he's dug in. He's come back to Norwich, but his attitude for Northern Ireland seems to have. He's very much one of those players. If he's not happy, he'll stink the place out. But at the minute, he seems to be happy. He seems to be contented, and we're reaping the benefits of it.
if only, imagine if you had a David Healy right now. Someone who, you know, I mean, that going back to that Euro campaign when he was top scorer, let's not forget.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the results in that, it reminds me a little bit of that. I know you haven't quite reached the heights of, you know, some of the results that you got in that campaign, but...
That was a much harder group.
Yeah, I mean, it was very hard, wasn't
it? Spain, Sweden. Spain went on to become European champions, world champions.
Yeah.
That was, I think, Spain until a couple of years ago. Their only defeat in the previous 4 or 5 years had been Northern Ireland. That night, that Wednesday night in Belfast, when Healy scored a hat-trick and famously lobbed Casillas from about 25 yards for the final one. So, no, definitely, if we had somebody like Healy in his pomp, we would. And I think any team at our sort of level would be crowned for a natural goal scorer. But at the minute, it seems to be all the working parts around the rest of the team seem to be working, and everybody seems to be fired up, and there seems to be some sense of unity, which maybe there hasn't been the last couple of campaigns, and we're reaping it.
Just a quick word on Romania. I mean, they beat Greece. I mean, Greece have been the shock of this group. They beat Greece 1-0, drew 1-1 with Hungary, and led until the 82nd minute, and scored two goals against Finland, beating them as well. One of the men who's been scoring goals is Stanku, who's got a 32 caps, only 8 goals for his country. So if you're looking for a goal scorer bet, he might be worth a little look. He's priced up at 64 any time, so not the biggest price. I mean, going back to Carl Lafferty, I mean, 14-5 for a goal looks a big price for a man who's in form for his country. You just need the chances, don't you, I guess? It's debatable whether, you know, the Northern Irish are going to get that many chances against Romania, I suppose.
But Jamie Ward missing, and Jamie Ward's been on fire the last few games for Northern Ireland as well. The midfield's going to really have to step up here. But like I said, Stephen Davis is also missing him. And no disrespect to the players. We've brought in Carl Winchester from Oldham and Matty Lund of Rochdale, but it's kind of, it hardly bodes you well with confidence. I think in terms of Romania at 6-10, and I expect Romania to win this, sadly. I'm a 2-0 standing out for me at 5-1. Also, in terms of, I do like me any 10 goal score bet. Bogdan Stanhu at 6-4, any 10 goal score. He scored twice in the last game for Romania, so that's what's standing out for me there as well.
Yeah. Do you think, what's your gut instinct now, whether they'll make it through? I mean, there's not much to fear in this group, is there?
No.
Do you think they can get to the European Championships?
I think if the players, if the key players stay fit. I think we're just a bit unlucky in this game. The first three games we've been flying. Everybody's been fit. If the key players stay fit, I expect Northern Ireland to finish second. Yeah, now, if Northern Ireland can sound expectations tomorrow night, if Northern Ireland can get a point tomorrow night, I would start to believe that Northern Ireland could win the group. Okay. But like I said, I think this is the hardest game of the campaign.
We'll keep everything crossed. It'd be great to see the Irish fans in the European Championships. Cheers, mate. Good talking to you.
No worries, mate. Listen, thanks very much. Speak again soon. Cheers.
So there you go, Brian Smith from Northern Ireland. We heard from David Donaldson in Scotland as well. And supposedly, this is a rare opportunity for the European teams to all qualify. They're all banging. I know it's unlikely for them all to go through, but they're all banging the mix at the moment, aren't they?
Absolutely. England top of the group. Northern Ireland top of the group. Obviously, Republic and Scotland just in decent positions. And Wales.
Yeah,
top of the group. I've spoken to Robbie Savage this week, but about their chances. But we'll have a little chat after we hear from Robbie. But I mean, even Wales to be where they are at the moment. Maybe some of them have benefited from. I mean, the Northern Ireland group is a pretty easy group, to be fair. You know, like I say, the Greece would expect it better from them. Maybe some of the teams have benefited from the big guns not playing that well so far.
Yeah.
But
Germany,
for
example.
Yeah, and maybe even Poland. Yeah. But you can only play against what you've got in front of you, and you've got to amass the points as quickly as you can. I think it's doing well against the minnow sides. That is the real test. It seems ridiculous, but that seems to be the way it is.
Wales are top of their group, top of Group B, and they're priced up at 12-1 to go to Belgium and win. Belgium are 100-30 on. The draw is 7-2. Before we get Robbie's thoughts, is this probably Wales' sternest test so far?
Yes, it is, yeah. I mean, you know, the Belgium, they're a funny side, aren't they? You know, we've got colleagues who work on InPlay Radio who back them to win World Cups in years to come. I'm not overly convinced, to be fair. I think they're a collection of individuals. And, you know, it won't be too long before that collection of individuals has kind of passed its sell-by date a little bit. I don't think that's happened yet, by the way. And they could have a fantastic chance if they find some form and find some real consistency. When you get to the European Championships, they'll obviously get a lot of money chucked on them. I think there'll be quite a short price to win that because of the players they've got. You just think about the players in their squad who we've got. We see them a lot in the Premier League, and a lot of them have come to the Premier League. Some brilliant players just don't seem to always gel that well for me. The World Cup results, I didn't think much of them against the USA. You know, 1-0 win against the Korea Republic, beat Russia 1-0, struggled a bit against Algeria. I was never really convinced by them all the way through the tournament before. Obviously, get the result, you can't complain. They looked a lot further than England did, obviously, losing eventually to the eventual finalist, Argentina. In this qualifying group, they smashed Andorra to bits 6-0, drew away in Bosnia and beat Iceland by 3-1. So, you know, not much is going wrong, to be fair. Probably would have liked to have beaten Bosnia away, but with Dzeko's goals, they're always going to be a difficult side. But yeah, in answer to your question, Wales have played Andorra, they've played Bosnia, and they've played Cyprus so far. So this is the big test in Group B.
Yeah.
You know, Belgium will win the group. Everyone else is really fighting for second place, I think. And Wales have done, you know, got the best record so far, haven't they? So
yeah, they've done a good job of stating a claim for that second
place. Although
they
have played a game extra than Israel and Belgium. So, you know.
Yeah, so they really need to get a result against Belgium, don't they?
If they went to Belgium and got any kind of result, I think they'd be delighted, wouldn't they? And, you know, you talk about Belgium squad. I mean, you know, Wales have certainly got the squad to do it, haven't they? Look at some of the players that they've got.
I've been impressed with a few of them as well. Obviously, Gareth Bale is the main eye catcher. But I've been impressed. Obviously, Aaron Ramsey, another star name. But Hal Robson-Kanu played very well the other day. Put a lot of effort in. And they've got players in there that are capable.
Yeah, well, they've got some solid, a bit slightly different to the Northern Irish team, as Brian was saying. You know, Brian was talking about this Northern Irish team who, when they draft players in, they're having to draft them in from the lower leagues. So, you look at Wales, they've got a kind of a smattering of quality Premier League players, and then you've got, like, Ramsey, and then you've got Bale.
Yeah.
You know, Bale could be a Ballon d'Or winner in the next 5 years. So, you know, if Bale's in any team, you'd have to give him a shout, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we've heard from a Scotsman, we've heard from an Irishman, where to Englishman, should we get a Welsh opinion?
Why not?
Yeah. Here's Robbie Savage.
I'm going to Belgium this weekend for Five Live. I'm really looking forward to it. I think from the last game against Bosnia at home in a 0-0 draw, an entertaining 0-0, we've got Ramsey, we've got Allen back. You know, where will Bale play? Ashley Williams is playing well centre-half. I think Wales have got a real opportunity not to get beaten this game. Belgium, yes, they've got Benteke back, Hazard, Origi, who's on loan at Lille, Kompany, Fellaini, so many good players. So if Wales can get anything in this game, it'll be a huge, huge bonus. I think they can score. When they've got Bale on the team, they've got a great chance of scoring. I just think with the quality of Belgium, I think 2-1 Belgium. Let's not forget, Wales went in there last year and got a draw. So I'm going to go with Belgium 2, Wales 1, but I really want Wales to get something out of the game.
Just a quick, since we recorded that, Kompany's been ruled out, of course. So that's a big bonus for Wales, because we still got City alike when he's not in the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a very influential player.
Such a leader at the back as well, isn't
exactly,
he?
Exactly, yeah. So, Robbie mentioned about the 1-1 draw in Belgium last time. It's that would give them a lot of confidence, you know, going there. You know, they played each other twice in the World Cup qualifier. They were beaten 2-0 at home, but, you know, again, James Collins was sent off after 26 minutes. Kompany and Vertonghen both scored in that game, so two defenders, so they didn't succumb to the attacking threat that Belgium have got. And, you know, we're talking Benteke, Lukaku, Hazard, Origi, you know, Robbie mentioned him, you know, Shadley, who's at Tottenham, of course. Kevin De Bruyne is playing fantastically well at the minute for Wolfsburg. Yanezai, I mean, I could keep going on. Look at that list of players. It's like a who's who of European stars, isn't it?
Good squad.
Yeah, Vertonghen at the back, as we've said, Axel Witsel as well, Dembele, so many of them play the trade in the UK that we know a lot of them. And I think that's why the price tends to be a lot shorter than maybe it should be, because I think they get quite a lot of money lumped on them from English supporters, English bookmakers. But, you know, I mean, I think they'll probably win. I agree with Robbie. One way of playing this might be, cause, you know, this is a quality team. Gareth Bale will raise his game no end. Gareth Bale to score maybe in a Belgium win might be the way I'd like to play this. I think that could be a way to go. It's the what do they call it now? Not a, we used to call it the lose cast.
Yeah.
It's the reverse win cast. Gareth Bale to score first and Belgium to win is 25-1. Gareth Bale to score anytime and Belgium to win 6-1.
Yeah, not too bad.
Bale just to score anytime 14-5. They get a free kick around the area.
I'd rather just play that, though.
Yeah. You're not confident Belgium win then?
No.
No.
Without company at the back. And they disappoint more often than they impress me, to be honest. Okay. If you look at the squad,
don't score as many goals as they should, do they?
No, and they just grind things out. And with Wales being on quite a high at the moment, yeah. I just wonder if you can get Bale at odds against price to score any time. I think you should just take advantage of that rather than trying to predict a result.
14-5.
Exactly.
It's such a good price, isn't it? You know, really, for someone who is brilliant from set plays as well. One of the bet, it's odds on, but Wales +2 gives you the Belgium win by a goal, the draw, and a Welsh win. Three results on your side there. It's 17-20. If you think that Wales can keep it tight, and as we said, they went there and got a 1-1 draw before. You look at their away results, in European and World Cup qualifiers. The last time they got smashed to bits by anyone was when they went to Switzerland in 2010, lost 4-1. Only lost by a goal to nil at Wembley against England when Ashley Young scored the goal. They beat Bulgaria, beat Andorra away, as they should. But even going back to 2007, got a miraculous 0-0 draw in Germany in the World Cup qualifying campaign last time. Didn't lose by more than a goal to anyone except Serbia and Croatia when they lost 2-0. 6-1 they lost to Serbia, which was a disastrous result in that first qualifier away from home. But after that, Croatia beat them 2-0. They beat Scotland 2-1, lost 2-1 to Macedonia, drew 1-1 with Belgium, as we said. So the +2 might be worth a look. Just they can afford to lose by a goal and you still get paid out on that one.
Okay. I was just having a quick tinker with the doubled goal scorers.
Right, okay.
I was hoping that they might have been generous and put Gareth Bale and Eden Hazard together.
I've not done that.
No, they're on to me. But Lukaku and Bale, that's not too bad at 32.
Nice.
But I probably won't play that now if I can't get Hazard in there.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's an interesting market to have a look at because, you know, Bale at any time, if you think that's a good price, if you think that Lukaku or Benteke can step up, I'd be swerving Benteke at the moment, by the way, then you stick them together and you get even more value.
Yeah, there's loads. They're all in the... we just scroll down the main markets, don't you? They come up. If you scroll down from the top, you get past the scorecasts and all the doubled players are right down there. Some nice markets, though. In the scorers and corners tab, that's where you need to look.
Yeah. Best bet for you here?
In this game, I'll go with Gareth Bale.
Sorry, I shouldn't really have asked you, should I? It's Robbie's tip, but what do you go for?
I'll go for Gareth Bale to score. I agree with you. I think he's that good a player that I get, and I think he will lift his game against the other great players. And I think you have to back him if he's a price like that. You wouldn't get Ronaldo at a price like that. I'm not saying he's quite as good as Ronaldo, but you know, without company, like you say, he could if he's let loose and he's playing well. Then 14-5 looks huge for Gareth Bale to score a goal.
Yes, and Robbie went for
2-1 to Belgium.
Yeah,
it's fair enough. 17-2.
Okay. Good stuff. Should we call it daily?
Yeah, it's been a very nice incident. I might go and get some. What should I go and get? I might get some haggis and taties.
Yeah. All right.
What's Welsh? And with leeks.
Yeah.
I might have potato and leek soup with some haggis for a main course.
Right.
And then some toad in the hole. That's English, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll be very full.
Fish and chips.
Very full. Yeah, fish and chips. I like fish and chips. Full English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
go and have a full English, followed by leek and potato soup, and then haggis.
Right.
Done.
Nice.
Need a pudding, though.
What's an English pudding? Spotted dick.
Have a Scottish pudding. I don't want spotted dick again. Is there a Scottish pudding? There must be a Scottish
shortbread.
Pudding. Shortbread. This is it. This is the meal. I'm going to have leek and potato soup for a starter, full English for a main, and shortbread for afters.
Right.
Woohoo!
Fantastic. Right, you go enjoy that. Good stuff, and enjoy the international break.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.